Blog Talk Radio.
Christopher, welcome to the test show. There's supposed to be an introduction. That's not plain. We're working on some things, and then we'll get to talk about we're working out the technical difficulties. Not sure why that introduction didn't play. 4041, I see it trying to play. Let me get one of the producers on here and the host. Monica Smith is the host for the show. And then the producers are Tony and Laura Psyche. Monica, you there? You're online with me now. And I don't see it playing. I see it playing on our side, but it's nothing's happening there.
Yeah,
there we go. There we go.
Welcome to the Marvelous Work and a Wonder Worldwide Radio Talk Show. At no time during the history of our world has a place existed where a person can go and ask any question about their human existence and have that question answered with authority, clarity, and completeness. During this radio talk show, many of the great and marvelous things that have been hidden from our understanding since the foundation of this world will be revealed. We've always known these real truths. They exist, hidden in the back of our mind within the confines of our imagination. Within the human mind, seeds of imagination sprout into belief systems of philosophy and religion. But these do not answer the basic questions of our existence. Who are we, and why do we exist? Religion and philosophy have produced fruits of discord, prejudice, and hate. These things are destroying our humanity. The purpose of the Marvelous Work and a Wonder is to introduce the real truth about our existence as human beings. Within its answers, the solutions to our human problems are found. Most of our problems are a cause of our ignorance, and our current experience upon this earth manifests the influence of this ignorance. This show is where current reality meets real truth.
Okay, welcome to the show. This is Christopher. I hope that you guys are hearing me okay. I'm going to get the host on, Monica. Monica, you're online. Can you hear me?
Yep, you sound good.
You're on the air, I mean. The introduction to the show did not start playing automatically, so we might want to get with Tony and Tino Psyche and check that out, make sure that starts and plays automatically. There was a delay there. I pushed it. I pushed and made the introduction play, but we wanted to play automatically like it used to in the other shows. And I'm sure there's a time difference from where we're at. I don't know how that translates on the computer, but I don't know. We'll just have to see how it goes. Why don't we plan on before, when's the show? Not this next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's plan on doing another test show wherever, whenever, and just make sure that introduction works.
Okay.
And as I did before, I might put some music on there. I don't know if that's the case or not. Hey, I see some callers on there. Tino and Tony Psyche and Laura Psyche are the producers. I want you guys to, what do they have to push in order to alert you that they want to talk to me, Monica? Is it one?
They have to press the number one, yep.
Okay, I need the producers, the psyches. I need you guys to push the number one and announce yourselves to Monica, who is hosting this show, so that she can put your name up on the board here so I can see them. And then once I do, I'll know who you are. So if I need to talk to you throughout the show, I'll be able to do so if we have any technical difficulties. But anyway, it looks like we have a few callers. So we're going to get this show going. I've promised the powers that oversee this incredible work that no one cares about and pays attention to. But anyways, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. That I would do one show a month, first Sunday of every month, and allow anyone anywhere in the world to call in and ask any questions they want. I'm not going to allow someone to call in and First, hold on there. I do see Laura Psyche's name there. Tony, if you're listening, or Tino, if you're listening, please press 1 on your phone and let Monica go ahead and post your, put your name up so I know which numbers are yours. And that way, if there's any problems, I can ask you questions. Tino Psyche is the main sound man who set this system up. And it looks like it's working pretty good. Monica, you're still on the air. Monica, you can see that you're still on the air, right?
Yeah, red. Yep.
Yeah, you're seeing the same dashboard that I have, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I don't see. Maybe Tony and Tino aren't on the phone.
They
perhaps
could just
be
on the computer. Yeah.
And that's fine. Tino and Tony, if you're on your computer, that's no problem at all. Laura, I need one of you to be on the phone. So, Laura is there. She could be right there by Tony or whatever. But as long as I have a producer on the dashboard that I can talk to or send a note to, then perhaps Laura can tell Tony what I'm trying to say or if there's any problems. But one of you have to be on there. Hold on. Let me put Laura on the air. Laura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Does that make sense? Tony and Tino do not need to be on the phone while you guys are producing this show. But I need one of you to at least have your number there that I can see you. And just for Monica, too, in case I need to bring you on because something's not going right. And again, I'm not going to know.
No problem.
I'm not going to know if something's not going right unless someone tells me. All I'm doing is speaking into a microphone. Okay.
Right.
All right. It looks like that's. Looks like Monica. Go ahead and answer that. I think that's Tino's number, if I recognize it right. Go ahead and answer Tino. Anyway, folks. So here we are. It's just where I want to be. But anyways, no, no. Truth is, and of course, I'm going to tell just a few of you who took the time to call in, who might be listening. We're going to archive all these shows. This is going to be the empirical evidence of which I speak and of which I write in my autobiography that demonstrates to this world that this is a place where one can ask any question about our reality. Whether they believe it or not, we can answer those questions. For the first time in the history of this planet, we're going to be able to explain the real truth about who we are and why we exist in the details that we need. I'm trying, as I write my autobiography, of course, the purpose is to put the details out there about my life. But also, it gives me a chance to explain things, to practice explaining the details of our reality. And that's important because the idea now is this last ditch effort that we are making to see if we can wake the world up, to wake them out of this deep sleep and slumber that they're in, caused by religion and philosophy and everything that they do. Now, I see a note here that Tino called in, but he can't hear me. Let me bring Monica back on and ask her what that's about. Monica, hold on. Let me put Tino on. Tino, are you there? Tino?
Hello? Yeah, you can't hear him.
Tino Psyche, he's not there. Maybe it dropped, but you can hear me, right, Monica?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, let's go back to Laura Psyche. Laura, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. I can hear you just fine.
Maybe the Psyches, while they're producing the show, can just be together. So they're together and they can what they need to do. It's going to be pretty hard for them to remotely monitor anything that's happening because, of course, the entire show is done through Blog Talk Radio. And wherever I'm going to be at the time, anywhere on this planet where I decide to be, Blog Talk Radio will broadcast from that point. So it's important that the production team, the Psyches and Monica, the host, that you work together and to make sure that everything is in order so that when it comes time for the show, it works. I think what we're going to do, let me see. I think that's Tino's number there. Hold on. Let me bring Tino on. Tino Psyche, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you are. Are you listening now? Can you hear what I'm saying?
I am. Sorry, I'm going to turn on my computer. I was kind of listening to both to see how it both sounded. It's sounding good.
Are we doing okay? Okay, I appreciate it. Yeah, you set the system up. I got it hooked up the way that I was told, and it looks like it's going okay. Like I said, I think that during the regular shows, we're going to go ahead and make sure that you and Laura and Tony are in together and that you know what's going on, just in case we need to ask any questions. But it's pretty straightforward. I talk into this mic. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a secondary recording device. And, Tino, that might be what you talked to Tony and Laura about, what this secondary recording device might be. And that way that as I speak, I can record it in case I lose the internet connection. Then everything that I've said is still there, and we still have a recording of that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Even if I lose the internet wherever I'm at, I'll still go on with the recording, say what I need to say. I won't be able to take any calls, phone calls, and answer those questions, but I can say what I meant to say for that particular show, and then we can publish that. We can archive it and publish it online. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
And Monica, what
I,
we might want to...
I think you can...
Oops. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there might be QuickTime on the computer that allows you to do audio recording on your computer that I think records all your inputs and stuff, I think.
Hold on. Let me check that out here. Bear with us, folks.
Yes, because that was...
Okay, QuickTime. I see it there. Hold on one second. Let me see this. New audio recording.
Mm-hmm.
QuickTime will like to access the microphone. I'm afraid, though, okay, I'm going to say okay, and I might lose you. I'm afraid if I let QuickTime take over the microphone, Blog Talk will lose it. Let's try it. Hold on. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you still hear me, guys?
Yes.
Yep,
okay, then. Let's see. I think it's recording. Testing 1, 2, 3. Oh. Maybe I should push it. There we go. testing 1, 2, 3. I think that's it. I think you hit that on the head, Laura. I think what I'll do is I'll use QuickTime Player as I'm recording the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm lost, we can go back and at least have
re-upload
a recording.
The audio.
That's right. Have a recording of what I say. Not necessarily what people have. But the one thing that we want is we want to encourage people to call in. I don't care if they're an enemy or critic or whomever. I'm not going to let them take over the show. I'm not going to let people start talking about bunkidity, things that are just not true. I'm going to warn people. When we first do the first show, I'm going to warn them. Do not call this show and ask a question that you do not want to hear the answer to. And the fact is, most people don't want to hear the real truth. I'm going to go ahead and take the three of you. I think I have Tony, no, Tino, Laura, and Monica. I'm going to go ahead and take you off. You're not on the air anymore, Laura, Tino, and Monica. Just I am. And I want, if there's someone out there on your computer, I want you to, or who's on the phone, who's waiting on the phone, hearing me on the phone. If you have any question, we need you to push 1 and get in the queue and let Monica put your name down so I can go ahead and access you and put you on the air so that we can make sure that this is going through. Now, there's a chat room going on there. I'm going to kick everybody out of there except Monica. You don't come into the chat room, folks. I'm not going to let you into the chat room. Monica and a couple others that you don't get to know about at this time. We'll be in that chat room if necessary. But the rest of you, don't join the chat room. Okay? But you can, if you're listening, so if you have a question just in this test program, you want to just talk a minute, go ahead and push 1, and let's get you in the queue and let Monica practice putting you on hold, putting your name up there, and me, and so that I can answer the call. Because the idea is to allow everybody access to this work, the few there be that care. But here's the challenge we're going to give them. The challenge is as it has always been. if you think this work isn't what it is, what it claims to be, and that I'm not that true messenger, then go ahead and give it a whirl. Give it a whirl. We challenge anyone. Call in with your questions. Go ahead. We'll answer them. Anything that's relevant, of course. If you try to talk to me about the ethereal Urantia files of the universe and bold bunkidity like that, I'm just going to shut you down and say that's just not true. It's not real. It's not anything to do with this real truth. If you want to talk about that, then go to some other podcast where they talk about these things, because I'm not going to deal with them. It is a waste of time. The only thing we want to talk about on this show is the real truth. It gives people an opportunity to understand these things, and it gives me an opportunity, if a person were to ask a question, to more clearly explain the answer to the question they might have. So any of you who are on the phone, the few there be, who are listening to this, go ahead and just push one and get in the queue, and I'll talk to you a little bit. Say hi. You don't even have to ask a question if you don't want. Just talk to me and tell me if you're enjoying the autobiography. Give me any critique you want. You say anything about my profanity, I will tell you to not say anything about the profanity, because I don't care. It's my autobiography. The words that I use that emphasize my emotions at the time are relevant to my personality. Those who know me personally have come to know that I do use profanity at times, but in a way to express with lazy adjectives and adverbs my feelings about certain things. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm just not. I'm going to talk. I'm going to write my autobiography. I'm going to give the true facts according to my perception, according to how I perceive them to be, and put them out. So let me go to a couple callers here that we have on here. We got an anonymous person. Anonymous, you're on the air. You've got a 417 area code. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, hi, Christopher. Hey,
hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good, 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 good. Okay. I just wanted to say I've been enjoying the autobiography, so thank you for that. It has made me sad for the case of this group of people, but other than that, I've been enjoying it. And I do have a question, just for the heck of it.
Yes.
How many people have abandoned the advanced dream or experience so far, if any?
All right, now that's a good question to ask for the typical show, and I'll just briefly answer that and see if I can. And one of the things I'm going to try to do on the regular show, on the official show, is to try to make the question more clear to the other listeners. Okay, so I might, when you ask a question like that, I'm going to try to, I believe that I know exactly what you're asking, but I don't think there's another person listening that does. So I want you to ask that question again, but like you would a child. Ask it to a 10-year-old child that you know knows everything there is to know about human reality. Ask the question again.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. See how hard it gets?
Yeah.
Do you understand that even though in your mind the question might be clear, to many other people's minds, that they don't know what you're talking about. And it's my job, I have to make sure that while we take the time and everybody else is listening, and those who will come back later and listen to the archived shows, that they understand exactly what you're asking. You know, what exactly are you saying? And you have to keep the question relevant to the reality that most people understand. So let's try that again. Go ahead.
I was going to say that I do get, and I knew I was taking a chance, but I just have it written down here, so I thought I'd throw it out there, especially since this is a test radio program. But, yeah, that's – wow.
Okay, what you haven't read yet and what will come out in the last final book, The Dream of Mortal Life, Understand Human Reality, or the details that you're asking about. Okay, it's very hard for people first to contemplate and understand the fact that this mortal life is simply a dream occurring in the mind of a god, of an advanced human being. That's all it is. It seems so real to us, even compared to the dreams that one might have as a mortal. It seems so real to us because this is happening in an advanced brain, whereas the dreams that you have at night, though they seem real too while you're dreaming, they seem to disappear and dissipate into a fantasy, imaginative understanding of the extreme experience, whereas this mortal life, we're thinking, this is it. We're here. This is what we know. And while we're dreaming, it's very hard for a person to understand that it's all just a dream. When you die, you're going to know it. When a person dies, they're going to know the real truth about all things. They're going to realize how very insignificant this mortal life is, yet how profoundly important it is. So in answer to your question of how many people have abandoned this, think of it this way, and you'll be able to figure it out almost perfectly mathematically. There are around, it's not exactly the number, but it's close enough for the use of what we need to tell people. There are around 15.07 billion advanced human beings who are associated with and engaged with our group that belongs to this solar system, the Earth that is evolving around our sun, and the place where we as advanced human beings engage in the experience called mortal life. Okay, and we call it a dream because we don't know what else to say, but we can't call it a game, but it's something that you connect to as an advanced human. You choose to connect to, and then your brain basically takes over, and it provides you with it's kind of like this. It's kind of like a drug being put into your mind that you allow. Okay, I want to join that group of people who are all having that experience, and I'm going to join them wirelessly. Let's try to say the words that we people can understand. We're going to join an online game of all these people. We have to actually will our mind, our advanced human mind, to join the game. Okay, when we do, we have to wait until there's a body. We have to wait until there's a mortal body created to which we can connect. Therefore, I'm getting around to answer your question. So you take the population of this Earth, subtract it from 15.07 billion, and then you'll have the number of advanced human beings that are not even participating in the mortal life experience here. But they haven't abandoned it yet. Okay? When you say abandon it, that would mean that there's many that don't want to come here. They don't want to play the game because it's useless. They're just going to come down to a place where it doesn't even play out the way it's supposed to. An advanced human knows that they need the experience of mortal life in order to gain the respective necessary in their own advanced daily world, eternal world, that keeps them from getting bored is the best way I can explain it. But it's useless. It's useless to gauge in the game or to start the experience when it's not going to play out like it was intended. And so they don't even try anymore. Okay, so you can see that there's probably just barely about half of the advanced human beings that belong to our group that are here. They're actually engaged in the game. They're waiting. They're watching what's happening here. And you can. That's a thing that you can do without participating in the game. It's like this. And I'm glad you asked the question because hopefully I can refine my ability to explain these things to people. Because the only thing I can do is use the current knowledge that people have about this world and the technologies that are available to them to explain a similar situation to what it really is, to the reality, the real truth about who we are as advanced human beings going through this experience. So it's kind of like this. You've got a world of people, and you have the opportunity to play a game on the internet. All you got to do is take the time, get on your computer, connect to this game, and you have a virtual avatar that participates in the game with other virtual avatars of people throughout the world. But not everyone's playing the game. Not everybody in the world is playing the game. So half of the people in the world are saying, I don't want to play that game. It's useless because I get on there, I'm just killed anyway. I'm killed anyway, or some other avatar gets a hold of mine and forces me to work for them. I can't even do what I want to do because I'm forced to work for them according to the rules of the game and the way things are going. So why even connect? Why even play the game? But you're able to watch it. Anybody can get online and watch what's happening. You get online and say, I just want to be an observer of Warcraft or whatever these games are that the kids are playing and people are playing. And you just watch what's happening. And you see the wars, the rumors of wars, the bullshit that's going, oops, trying to, you know, I have to practice keeping the potty mouth that I have it down. But the fact is the advanced humans, the group we belong to, most of them, a good about half of them are just watching. And they're very aware of what we're doing. Very aware. They know we failed so many times in the past. Our society has failed. This time is the very first time since the first dispensation of time when all human beings, when the 15.07 billion advanced humans were engaged in this game in the beginning because it was a perfect mortal world. It was a world where once you engage the game, everything went your way. Unconditional free will. You didn't have the problems with a body, with an immortal, with a mortal body that's ridiculous. You didn't have the problems of sex. You didn't have all these problems. You engaged the game, and it gave you the appropriate contrast that your advanced brain needed, and it played out perfectly. But once humanity fell, it was destroyed, and we'll go into those details more in the book of how it happened, then it was useless for advanced humans just to play the game, to engage in the experience anymore. But for the first time since that fall, if we could use that word properly, since that fall of humanity, this is the very first time and the last time that our advanced selves, through this marvelous work and a wonder, are going to make an attempt. We're going to say, okay, let's just tell everybody the real truth. Let's explain the real truth to everybody and see if that does anything. It's a last-ditch effort. The problem with that last-ditch effort is this. Let's say everybody in the world paid attention. And they all listened to Christopher, the weird, bonkers dude. And he's telling them exactly how the world is. In a world like it is today, how many people would stay here? If they knew that the moment that they committed suicide, they'd be at peace and in a wonderful place. And they wouldn't be responsible for any sin or anything that they might have done. You're not going to have people hang around this world. They're not going to want to. If they knew the real truth, people would kill themselves right and left. And they'd end this existence because it isn't playing out right. That's the reason why the real truth has never been explained throughout the history of this world. You got to have a place where people are engaged in the game. And if they knew that it was just a dream experience, and it was that simple to put a gun to your head or strangle yourself and pass out and then die and end it all. You see, if it was that, and they knew that, nobody would stay around. That's why they've never said it. But now it doesn't matter anymore. For years, until 2016, the brothers, my mentors, tried everything that they could religiously to get people to think correctly. But as the good book says, it's pretty hard to put new wine in an old bottle. Your minds, and probably yours too, and Mr. Anonymous, are so messed up because of religion. Because of these ideas that have been put into your head since you were a little child. And there's only one way you're going to be able to receive the real truth. There's only one way. You must become as a little child. Except ye become as a little child, ye shall in no wise receive these things. Let me say that again. Unless you forget and repent of all the bullshit you've learned since you were a little kid, and you immerse yourself in the real truth, the things we're trying to tell you, in other words, you be baptized in our name, you're not going to accept the things, and you'll no way be able to live in this world properly. Now, you see where I'm going with that. But people can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's so hard on them to do. And that's what I'm trying to bring out these points with real life experiences. And that's what my autobiography is all about. Hey, I appreciate that. Did that kind of answer your question?
It very much did. I have one more question, if it's okay. If it's not, I'm happy to hang up.
Well, I appreciate that, but you go ahead and I'm going to answer it. I'm going to answer it very quickly because I'm going to go on to the other people who are holding, okay?
All right.
Go ahead.
You've addressed dreams several times, and I just wanted to say that I have been aware that I was dreaming in several of my dreams, and that doesn't seem to have ever been addressed in audios that you've done and texts that you've written. But I have been very aware, not a heck of a lot, but sometimes when I've been dreaming, I have been in that dream and gone, this is a dream. I know it's a dream. So how is that explained?
Because it's a dream. That's just how it is. But for the most part,
okay.
a regular dream experience that occurs in a mortal brain, the normal dream, most often you don't know you're dreaming while the dream is taking place.
Okay.
However, it is possible, very possible, that as you're dreaming, you wish it was a dream, and you can't wait till it ends. But try this next time you think you're dreaming while you're dreaming. Try ending it. You can't. You cannot voluntarily, with your free will, while you're dreaming, as that dream character, no matter if you know you're dreaming or not, end it. You got to wait till certain things play out, or unless somebody wakes you up. And so if you were to tell me that you had a dream, if you were to tell me that I have dreams and I know that I'm dreaming during the dream, I'd say, okay, that's possible. But if you told me that I was in a dream and things weren't going very good, so I woke myself up, I'd say, you're lying. That's not true. Nobody can do that because the dream sequence plays out involuntarily in our mind. Thanks for your question. It was good. I appreciate the practice. Have a good one. Jeff in Utah, you're on the air. Is this Mr. Wainsgard?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, one of my favorite Brigham Young looking dudes on this planet. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. It's good to hear from you.
Can you hear me okay? Is my voice coming through okay?
Yeah, everything sounds great. I'm talking on my phone, and everything sounds great.
Awesome. How are things going for you? Been a few years now.
Okay.
It's been a few years since you found this incredible real truth and all these people you've tried to tell how that worked for you.
I'm telling you what, I mean, if I'd listened to you tell me to shut my mouth, I'd been a lot better off. But, it's all okay. It's all good. I've been enjoying the autobiography. It lets me get to know my messenger a lot better. I mean, I knew some of the stuff, but I didn't know some of the details.
Yeah.
And it makes everything come together even more. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's important because you hear about certain things of my past and certain things that I've done. And I've been in jail for this or that or whatever. But you don't know the chronological time order of things. And then it's kind of hard. I mean, I was married to two Sherrys. They were both not at the same time, Sherry 1 and Sherry 2. When did that happen? What happened? I'll tell you what, with where we're at right now in the autobiography, things are just starting to happen. It's you wait. Oh, good Lord. Oh,
yeah. God. That's what I've been doing. I look forward to it every day. And actually, I've got a question. I've got a friend that is interested in the work, and he's reading your autobiographies, and he believes it. And he says, I believe it. You know, I just believe it. So, but there's shit we'll talk about. There's stuff we'll talk about. And I'm telling you, within he'll have questions. I'll say, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But within a day or two, it's posted. The same topic that we were talking about. I just wondered how does that work?
Well, I ended the autobiography, the chapter today that I had posted. I ended it in, let me pull it up and you'll see how I ended that thing. I ended it and I try to put enough vents in. It's very hard for me at times. to write this stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
But this particular
yeah.
chapter, I ended in this way, and excuse the language, because my autobiography language is a little bit different than it will be in public on this radio, is basically that to confront and confound this new. So they waited until humanity developed a new world, a new, more free and liberal country, the United States of America. Then they introduced some things to fight religion. They introduced the Book of Mormon. It failed to do anything but create another sucky religion, more division, more reason for a person to be depressed and want to kill themselves. Yep, the suicide rate, number of people taking antidepressant medication among the LDS Mormon is one of the highest rates in the world, a fact. To confront and confound this new Americanized sucky religion that depresses people and makes them want to kill themselves, they needed a messenger, and the fuckers chose Grandpa, which is me. Their work truly is marvelous and a wonder. Well, here's the deal. What I was trying to say is their work is truly marvelous and a wonder, because I wonder why they chose me, too. But the fact is, and I'll go on with the next chapter, they didn't choose me. I chose to do this. But every single advanced human, 15.07 people, got behind the choice and said, okay, you do it, dumbass. Well, not really. But I actually volunteered. And then I'll go in the next chapter and explain a little bit more about my association with our advanced selves and how that worked for a long time, what I called in the past of being connected. And I'll explain more about how I know things about people. And a lot of it has to do with my brain's ability to be in our real world. Because after my transfiguration, when the time was appropriate, and it didn't happen. It did not happen until we're getting to that time period where I started having these connective dreams. And when I dream, and when my brain dreams at night, unlike yours or Anonymous's or whomever's, what actually happens in my dream is that I wake up in our real world. And I'm there, and I see things and hear things with my ears, vibrations. Of course it's happening in our head, because everything that happens to us happens in our head. But I'm going to explain a little bit about how that works and how I received instructions for the role that I was to do and how I dealt with being connected, how I would do that. And by so doing... I'm rambling on. I'm not even getting back to the point of what I was trying to make. What was your goddamn question again, Jeff?
I don't know.
I know I was going through it.
I just smoked a joint before I called you.
Oh,
so
for heck's sake.
Now, where were we?
Anyway, the point I'm trying to make throughout the autobiography, I'm going to explain a little bit more things. And one of those, of course, how I communicate with that world. You know, how does that work?
Yeah.
How do I do those type of things? Anyway.
Does what happens to you have anything to do with dimethyltryptamine?
Absolutely not. Nothing.
Okay.
No, it all happened to my advanced brain, not this mortal brain.
Well,
you can put any type of drug. You can put any type of drug in your brain that you want in the mortal world, but you're never going to connect to the real life. To our real selves. Anybody that says they've done that is a liar. It doesn't happen. There's only five people on this earth who are mortals to whom that happens.
Yep.
Okay.
I got you.
Everybody else, of course, you're going to see things and dream things and imagine things that are incredible and incredibly close to the real truth about who we are and why we exist. But no one can make that connection unless the actual physical aberration or the physical changes made to their advanced brain, not to their mortal brain. Therefore, any drug that you put in your mortal brain isn't going to cause that true connection.
No, of course not. Yeah.
We don't have much time left. Let me get on to other callers, see how they're doing.
Yeah.
These are things we save for the regular show. That'd be great. Okay.
I know. Yeah. Yep. I know.
Thanks, Jeff. That's a good one, man. Let's go here, Kurt from Idaho. Is this the worst half of the Monica Smith, Kurt?
You got it, if you can hear me, yep.
Hey, Kurt, how do I sound, man?
You sound great. I'm impressed with how clear you are, actually.
Good. That's what's important, especially where I'm at, and that it's working so well with this incredible internet. And here's the point, if you guys haven't figured it out. They had to wait. until we had this type of technology. This thing is being broadcast throughout the world. Anyone on this planet with this technology, with a computer or a cell phone, can listen to what I'm saying. Nobody has an excuse unless they don't have that technology. But those who need this message certainly have the money, the means to buy, purchase the technology to listen to this message. And that's what's so incredible about it. I'm broadcasting thousands of miles away from most of the listeners, and they can hear me as clear as a bell. Cool technology, huh?
Yep.
That's why they had to wait. But by
makes
damn,
a lot of sense.
It's my opinion it ain't going to do any good anyway. It's failed so many times. But as we all know, this is their last-ditch effort. This is the last thing they can possibly do. Reveal to this world who we really are. And as I'm trying to explain autobiography, it cuts sharp. Things that come out of my mouth are like a double two-edged sword, and it is tough. It takes away all the values you ever thought were important to you, whether it's your children, your wife, or your business, or whatever it is. It just takes all those values away. And I think, you know what, Curry, I think I know what people hate the most about this message is, like, as I'm explaining that guys like Hitler, so they're no better or worse than anybody else, and they're not going to be punished in any shape or form for what they did in this world, any more than a kid, than one of your sons is going to be punished for getting on an online game and destroying tons of people. That's what people hate. They just don't see. They say, I can't be. Yet I can take these Christians back to their own scriptures, to their own Jesus words. That's the hardest, a very hard thing for people to take, that they're basically, everybody's going to be forgiven of every sin that they do, any bad thing that they do, except for one. If a person is not true to who they really are, they will not like it when they're all done with this. You have these notices, these kids in these news now is committing suicide, and their parents are, I don't know what happened. I don't know what's wrong. Because you parents didn't know that child. Yeah, but my child just came to me the other day and was talking about how great her grades are, that she was going, this actually happened, she's going to be an honor student at school. She's going to have this scholarship, and she was so excited about that. She said that to you, Mr. and Mrs. Parent, because that's what you wanted to hear. That's what brought a smile to your face. When inside, you didn't know your daughter. You might not know that she doesn't want to go to school. She doesn't give a crap about the honor society or playing the guitar or singing or anything else. Because you didn't know her, and she did everything to please you. Of course, that's what you saw and heard. And now, not being able to be true to herself, she did the thing that devastated you guys the most, ended her life. But what would have happened had you just let her be herself? That you not tried to tell her, oh, you need to go to school, you need to be in the honor society. Oh, look at my kid. I have a bumper sticker that says my kid is an honor student at Parkview Elementary. Maybe your kid doesn't want to be an honor student. Maybe that's what's driving those kids to suicide, is that they're not able to be true to themselves. Therefore, as an advanced human being who's down in this world not being true to themselves, they're going to end the experience. Does that make sense, Kurt?
Yes, it does.
And that makes people hate my guts. But anyway, save your question for the next time. We've got a few minutes. Let's get to others. Thanks for everything you do, Kurt. I sure appreciate everything you do. Please let Denton and Sydney know, too. You know, without their help, I could never, ever, with you guys and what you do, I could have never done what I'm doing. And, you know, it is what it is. Thanks so much.
Well, we appreciate what you do, so we keep doing what we do.
Thanks, bro. Soon. Go to the next caller, Lynette in Utah. I think I know this, Lynette. Lynette in Utah,
hello.
How you doing? Have you been able to hear me okay?
I sound great. I think it's even better than it used to be.
Well, yeah. I'm sure those
very
mentors,
clear.
I'm sure the mentors of mine heard that with a big smile on their face. Okay. Whatever. No, you know, they deserve it. Your support and help and everything that you do. You guys deserved to at least once a month hear me come. Hear what that sharp two-edged sword coming out of a guy's mouth actually sounds like. That's a big thing. What does a sharp two-edged sword coming out of a guy's mouth sound like? And what's the significance of that white horse? Now people are going to even hate me more. They hear something like that. Oh, this guy thinks he's Christ. I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. But I'll say this. If you symbolically look at me with the same allegoric perception used in the book of Revelation, you will see that I'm a guy with a crown on his head with a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth riding on a fucking white horse. Oops, excuse my language. It's a test show, so I let that one slip. But to hear what that is, that sharp two-edged sword, what the real truth does to a person that angers the crap out of people. Whoa. So my point of all that is it's got to be sharp. It's got to be clear. And obviously the technology that we now have and the improvements that have been made even over the last few years with Blog Talk and with the communication that we have makes it even better, right?
Yeah. That's okay. What I was meaning is that technology sounds better. I don't mean your explanation, but I mean the technology.
Oh, no, wait,
there's
a
better.
Damn mitten. So you're saying
and
that
now,
my explanations are not better, but technology is,
no.
So you can hear my voice, but actually what comes out of my mouth has not better than what it used to be. Is that what you're trying to say?
Because it was, yeah, because it's always been awesome. How can you improve on awesome?
Well, trust me. They've been sharpening that sword. You know that sword coming out of my mouth? They've had it on a grinding wheel. They've had it on a grinding wheel for the past year or so, or year and a half or so. And they've been sharpening that sword. And it's going to come out. It's going to come out good.
Yeah, I know. It does. It comes out great. I'm just saying, I think you've always done a fantastic job. And we're getting more information, and that's exciting and fun. And I love how you're sharing everything.
Awesome.
But I always think you've been doing a great job. That's all I'm saying.
That's because you're deceived. And you're a member of a
cult.
Yeah, probably. You listen to this cult leader. Should get your ass back to church, girl. Anyway, thanks for the call. Let's see. We only have 24 minutes left. Let's see if we can get through these. Thanks, Lynette. Appreciate you a lot. Jay in Nebraska, go ahead with your question or comment.
Hi. And I hope we don't get cut off. But Noni and I are both on the road here. Yeah, I had a question that and I've asked it before, and I just I'm really asking it maybe for the sake of everyone, that the 15.07 billion people that would potentially occupy this earth, that number is identical in the third estate as well as the second estate. In other words, the earth and in where there's the same number of people in both places. Am I not correct? It's the same group of people.
No, I know what you're saying, but most other people there probably won't follow what you're saying.
Okay.
What? Let me explain it and clarify it real quick for what Jay's saying. There are 5.07 billion advanced human beings who are in our particular group. The easiest way to understand these things mathematically and logistically is to look at the universe. There are myriads, worlds upon end, galaxies upon end, solar systems upon end. In our reality, in the real reality, and let's just use this estate. Let's just use our universe as we see it. Each one of those lights that you see out there, if it's not a cluster of suns which create one light that we see, each one of those lights is a sun. Around that sun are the planets where humans exist, planets that have been created by human beings to serve their needs and their own purposes. Okay? Our particular group that's isolated to this solar system that we call Earth that rotates around our sun is approximately 15.07 billion people. It's the same what Jay's trying to say, which will confuse a lot of people. We're going to shy away from talking about the first estate. We're just going to tell people we're advanced humans having a dream more like we're the same. And we cannot have the moral experience unless we do it upon this earth. And this earth was created specifically and size-wise to accommodate the needs and desires of 15.07 billion advanced human beings. Okay, now, there's lots of seas and oceans that cover most of the ground. They weren't there in the beginning. And in the book, of course, we're going to detail exactly how they became, how the water became what it is, how seas and oceans became what they are. You know what's cool, Jay? What Christians who think they say they have their Bible and they believe in their Bible. I believe in the Bible. I don't believe in this country profane cowboy farmer dingbat, but I believe in the Bible. So in their Bible, in the book of Revelation, there's a cool comment in there about the new world. Okay, you go to a new world and it talks about the new world that's going to come out of truth coming in, and according to them, Jesus coming and changing things. It's in Revelation 21:1, if you guys out there want to hear it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea in the new heaven and new earth. No more of those big, vast wastelands of water out there. That was all dry land with rivers and streams that are beautiful, wonderful things. You know, we messed it up. So, answer your question is, we don't have anything to do with anyone but our 15.07. We don't have any relationships with any other humans except among that group. It's just like in the solar system. We have no... What?
Okay. That preface only was leading to what my question was. Go ahead, though.
No, go ahead. Make it quick, and we'll get on it. Because these are good questions.
What I was wondering then, if or when our solar system ends in this estate, what will be the disposition of the state of our real world? What will happen to us in the real world when this earth, when this platform is potentially gone, as you have spoken of?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. It's one that we're going to address on a regular show, and it's incredible because it's important. One of the most important questions anybody could ask. So if we can't live the mortal life and mortal experience because it never works out for us, our 15.07 billion people, what's going to happen to us then? You're going to have 15.07 people. They're going to be bored out of their eternal wits. Their brains are not going to be able to handle the boredom. And they're going to say, oh my gosh, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to exist like this. And then they're going to understand one thing. Well, wait a minute. I already know this. I can end this existence, this advanced eternal existence, anytime that I want. They're not going to want to be an advanced human anymore. They're going to go back to what you know, and it confused others, to their first estate. And in their first estate, it's how they've always been. Always been. Okay? And so it's going to be really hard for me to take people throughout these three different conscious states of existence, when in reality, we're just simply one person. But each estate, each conscious reality means something that's very important to the human psyche. So your answer is this. If we can't participate in the game of mortal life, if we can't have this mutually engaged experience upon this earth, we're going to become very, very bored as advanced humans, and we're going to want to leave that state. But we can continue to live in our real world and our real solar system as long as we want. But we're going to be very, very bored because we won't have the ability, our brains won't have the ability to have this mortal experience. And therefore, we got to look around us and say, is it worth living anymore? And the thing that's going to be the hardest to give up at that time are the relationships that we've had and gained with this within the group of people with whom we belong. These are real relationships, human bonds. And we know that on committing virtual eternal suicide, we lose those relationships forever. Anyway, that's a great, great question, and I'm going to deal with it sometime, autobiography, but it'll be more detailed in the book. Hey, thanks so much. Let me see if I can get the last two before it ends. Okay, Jay?
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Bye.
Okay.
Let's go down here. I ain't going to Noni in Nebraska. She's with Jay in Nebraska, and I don't want to talk to Noni anyway. She is not a very nice person. I'm just saying that because she's one of the most wonderful people that I know. Anyway, let's go to Mr. Rod in Minnesota, one of my ultra virtual favorite people. Rod, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, sir, you gave us one other opportunity. I have no question, no comment, but you invited us to call in to say hi, and I'm not going to turn down that opportunity. That's all I want to do is say hi.
Hey, that's awesome. Now, are you following Modobiography?
Absolutely.
Do you have any problem personally? And let me just tell you, give you a little heads up, disclaimer before I ask you this question. I don't give a shit. Do you have any personal objections of me telling everybody about what happened between us, about your experience, about your stroke, and about everything else?
Of course not.
Because you're going to read about some things that you forgot. We're going to read about some details that maybe as you read about them, maybe it'll spark something in your mind. You might think, well, geez, I remember something like that, but I thought that was a dream. But anyway, you might be bugged in the future. You know, the enemies and critics, they know about what's going on, but I don't care. I'm going to tell them who you are. You have an incredible story. It's an incredible thing, unfortunately for me, because had we kept your mind intact, I wouldn't be involved in this bullshit court system crap, because you'd be taken over and have it all worked out. But guess what? It's probably good, because they don't want me in that court system bull crap. You know, they would rather free me up to do what I got to do. But still, had I not been so damn selfish, you would have still had that attorney nature about you, which I'm sure you're glad you don't have anymore, because there couldn't be a nicer human being than you, Rod. Anyway, I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to put the truth, the real truth of what happened back then. And it's going to, you're one of few whose names will be mentioned in Modobiography for the protection of those other people. But in your situation, you know, I appreciate your public acknowledgement and permission to use your real name, which I will do. Okay, my friend?
Okay, my friend.
All right, we'll carry on. You're going to, we just started on that Autobiography. The events have just started. There is so much, so much more. But we'll get it out there. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to the last caller we have on here. It's Austin from Alabama. Austin, you're on the air with me. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, I just have another question about, quote-unquote, sinning against the Holy Ghost or that whole concept. It just seems to me that everybody has that to some degree or another. I thought that was kind of the whole point of existing in the
Hey, Austin, it's so hard to hear you, man. It's very, very hard. You're not coming through very clear. So I really can't. I'm here. We got a little bit. That's a little bit better. We got a little bit of time left. But quickly, you had a little. Do you have an issue with the idea that there is no actual sin for which we're going to be punished after this life, except one, denying who we really are? Or do you understand it and agree with that?
No, I just thought, isn't that the point of existing in the mortal world, is to experience that, not, I thought that was the whole point of it.
No, that's what's not clear. We've never made that clear. The point was not to come into this life and sin and be unhappy. No way. Okay, the idea was to come into this life and have experiences that weren't exactly like our advanced experience. We're almost out of time. Few seconds. Austin, call back during the show. Great question. See if you can get a better connection so everybody can hear you. Appreciate it. People, we're done here for the test show. It looked like it went pretty good. Producers and the host, please let me know how that all went. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning in. We'll get this going. And I'll continue to have that sharp two-edged sword being sharp in my mouth. Have a good one. We'll play this introduction, this cool introduction.
Welcome to the Marvelous Work and a Wonder Worldwide Radio Talk Show. At no time during the history of our world has a place existed where a person can go and ask any question about their human existence and have that question answered with authority, clarity, and completeness. During this radio talk show, many of the great and marvelous things that have been hidden from our understanding since the foundation of this world will be revealed. we've always known these real truths. They exist, hidden in the back of our mind within the confines of our imagination. Within the human mind, seeds of imagination sprout into belief systems of philosophy and religion. But these do not answer the basic questions of our existence. Who are we, and why do we exist? Religion and philosophy have produced fruits of discord, prejudice, and hate. These things are destroying our humanity. The purpose of the Marvelous Work in a Wonder is to introduce the real truth about our existence as human beings. Within its answers, the solutions to our human problems are found. Most of our problems are a cause of our ignorance, and our current experience upon this earth manifests the influence of this ignorance. This show is where current reality meets real truth.
Hey, for those who are still around, that introduction, guy who you guys know is John the Beloved, not John the Beloved, but you know, the guy who you would call that, he wrote that in about 5 minutes, if that. That incredible introduction. Just thought you might want to know that. Anyway, see you next show. Goodbye.